you can truly distinguish your next vacation overseas by making time to experience a great music performance at a local concert venue. Many of the same great concert halls the masters of classical music performed in are where you can attend a concert today. To get us started on the possibilities, we're joined by Maestro Lee Mills. Lee was the young and energetic conductor of the Seattle Symphony and the Minnesota Orchestra during the Symphonic Journey presentations I gave there a few years ago. We used music to illustrate how Romantic-era composers in the 19th century wrote works that helped to foster national pride in Norway, Austria, France, England, Germany, Italy, and the Czech Republic. Lee's back with us on Travel with Rick Steves to help us consider some great venues across Europe that promise to add cultural excitement to your next trip. Lee, welcome back.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Whoa, I've had so much fun when I stumble into a great classical experience on the road. Yeah. And it helps if you have, you know, if your parents made you take the piano or if you played in school or if you're a conductor like you.
Yeah.
But it really does give an extra dimension to your travels if you can enjoy a little classical music on the road, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Yeah, there's so much going on. If you go to almost any European town, it doesn't matter how small or what day of the week it is, I promise you, you will find a performance that's going on that's going to really be really high quality and a beautiful, beautiful concert.
Now, and you have a high bar, I would imagine, because you are the maestro. You are the boy wonder. You're like 35 years old, and you've been professionally conducting ever since you were in your early 20s.
Yeah, 21, I think.
21.
That's my first gig.
Tell us your story, just briefly, before we get into my questions about European travel.
Yeah.
How did you become a conductor who's hired to perform all over the United States? I mean, Lee Mills is coming to town. It's up there on the billboard.
Well, I started playing piano when I was about 3. We had one in our house, and I was begging my parents for piano lessons.
What a strange kid.
Yeah,
begging you,
right.
The maestro in the making.
Well, you know, and I would take it was an upright piano, and I would take the panel off the bottom of the piano, under, like where your knees go, and I would lie down backwards on my piano bench, and I would push the keys from the bottom, like the mechanism from the bottom, and I would play stuff lying down upside down under my pianos. So yeah, that's how it all started. And I picked up trumpet and I started singing through college. And then I came across conducting and fell in love with it when I was at my undergraduate. And then I went to the Peabody Institute for my graduate degree and focused on conducting. And that's when I started doing it professionally as well. So
I think most of your career has been, you've performed all over the place in Europe, the United States, and Latin America. But you were for 4 or 5 years in Brazil and
yep.
then for 3 years here in Seattle. How would you say the experience as a conductor is different in Brazil compared to Seattle or the United States?
Well, I think when I got the job in Brazil, and I wasn't even the big boss conductor of the orchestra when I got the job, I was a resident conductor, and I showed up on the second page of the biggest newspaper in Rio. So it'd be like being on the second page of the New York Times, a whole full page interview with me. So there's a certain reverence in Brazil, and I noticed it also in like Italy, when I've worked in Italy, when you're the maestro, there's this like, they revere artists like at this level that's...
And then you come to the United States where you got to go, excuse me, I can just see you hitting your baton on the table. Excuse me, I am the conductor.
Well, I have conversations with people, go out and meet new friends or whatever, and they're like, what do you do? And I say, oh, I'm a conductor. And they're like, oh, like trains?
What I want to talk about is going to Europe and enjoying classical music in Europe. And you've actually worked in Europe. You actually were conducting in Venice.
Yes.
That's the hall that burned down, isn't it?
Twice.
I've always wanted to go to a concert there. I never have. What was that like?
So it's called La Fenice, which means the phoenix.
Well, that's the right name for something that's burned down twice.
Exactly. And ironically, I think the last time it burned down was during a production of Don Giovanni. And I was there. I was assistant conductor to help out with all 3 of the productions of the Mozart da Ponte cycles. You have Don Giovanni, The Marriage of Figaro, and Così fan tutte. So we were doing Don Giovanni, and the actual set, the director had the set designed so that there's like probably 200 candelabras with real candles on stage. And it was, everybody was just joking that they're tempting fate, because the last time it burned down was during a Don Giovanni production.
And it was okay.
It didn't burn down, but it is beautiful. You know,
you've got those. It took me like a $40 tip to get the candles lit when I was filming in a Venetian palace once.
Oh,
but
yeah,
to get those candelabra with real candles going,
yeah,
it was beautiful.
And it was on a rotating stage too, so all these candelabras were on walls and stuff, and the whole thing was moving, and the candles were lit. It was tempting.
You know, there's two opera halls in Europe that are rival as the oldest opera halls. And they're candlelit and no amplification. And they've got all these great operatic sound-making machines. One is in Stockholm and the other is in the Czech Republic.
Oh, yeah.
And they are just, it's amazing to go to a historic concert hall. Europe venerates that, it seems like.
Well, you know, and you mentioned no amplification. Almost all concert halls for classical music and opera have no amplification.
I didn't know that. Is that sort of, that's a quality, a measure of quality, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, they're really beautiful halls. And like La Fenice in Venice is like this. Most of the time you don't get huge, huge, huge opera halls. Like here in the United States, we build them gargantuan. But all these, you know, famous halls, like even La Scala, if you go in there, it's actually quite small.
They are pretty small, aren't they?
It's pretty, to what we're used to. It's like 6 stories tall, but it's
How does that pencil out? Do they get higher ticket costs? Do they get big donations? Or does the government subsidize it? Or do the musicians charge less?
A combination of all of those, kind of, except for the donations. They're, they're mostly funded by governments. The tickets, you know, especially the very famous ones, are very expensive if you're going to go to La Scala.
But they always make a little compensation for students and poor people and people that just can't afford live music.
That's the great thing about Europe. I went all over Europe by train when I was in college. I spent the summer, the whole, you know, the cliche backpacking around Europe and staying in hostels with 20 people in a room and taking the train everywhere. And with your student ID card, you can get tickets everywhere for like 20 euros or something really affordable.
If you know how to stand in line and when to be at the right spot, and if you don't mind going up to the top and leaning against a rail instead of getting a nice cushy seat, you can hear La Scala, you can hear the Vienna Orchestra, Vienna Opera, the Vienna Symphony Orchestra for peanuts.
Yeah. I mean, actually, you know, even here in the United States, a lot of places you can do that. I used to go all the time to the Metropolitan Opera and get a standing room only ticket.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Maestro Lee Mills. And Lee is, has been a conductor all over the United States, and he's taken his talents as a conductor to Europe. You were several years in Venice. When I'm in Venice, I'm always sort of torn to how many classical music opportunities there are around. Some of them are very touristy with people in wigs and leotards, you know, and others are very serious.
Venice is just was remarkable. It's remarkable living there for a while, and it was remarkable just getting to work in music and the quality of artists that are there, especially doing Italian opera, is just fantastic.
Because it's a small town. It's a town of with a population of 60,000 or something like that. But of course, you got millions of tourists coming in. So you're, aren't you performing mostly for tourists?
Mostly, yeah. I mean, the hall was sold out every single night for a whole month, 6 days a week. So for
and,
that production.
And then you moved over to Verona. And Verona's famous for its opera festival in the Roman Arena, right?
Right. Well, actually, Verona was a place that I went when I was, I wasn't living there. It was a place I went when I was just on that train trip I mentioned in college. And that's one of the student tickets I bought. You know, I splurged a little bit on a more expensive ticket, but with the student discount, it was really affordable. And that's, you know, that's another one of those things that everybody says, oh, you know, that's a tourist venue. But I have to tell you, I was blown away. It's a capacity of 14,000 people.
And for 2,000 years, people have been gathering there.
Yeah, it's an ancient Roman arena. Like, it's like a small coliseum.
Hey, when you're traveling around Europe, there's a lot of music festivals, and it's something that I think you have to plan for because you want to get tickets in advance.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
What's your advice for classical music aficionados or people who want to enjoy some classical music while they're traveling around Europe as it relates to festivals?
There are a couple of really great ones. The Britain Pierce Festival is up in Suffolk, England, and that's a really great festival. If you like Benjamin Britten's music, it's usually full of that and then sort of adjacent composers. I really love Aix-en-Provence, which is down in Aix-en-Provence.
That's the south of France.
Yeah, so it's an opera festival that goes on all summer long, and they do dozens of operas. They've got a beautiful outdoor theater that is just really incredible.
Don't you think it's amazing in Vienna? I was just in Vienna, and talking about a festival, it's a constant festival because they don't just do one opera.
Oh, yeah.
Every night there's a different opera.
Yeah.
It does it in a rotation. So you could be there for four nights and have four different operas with the Vienna Philharmonic in the pit.
Yeah, they've got a very busy stage crew.
Yeah.
And that's how it was when I was in Venice, too. We did the three separate operas, but it was, you know, Monday would be Marriage of Figaro, Tuesday would be Cose fan tutte, Wednesday would be Don Giovanni.
And is that a lot for a conductor to keep in his head?
It was a lot of music, yeah. It was a lot of music.
So that is, I think what you're acknowledging is you've got people that are coming through and they have a huge appetite for this and they're happy to go two nights in a row if you have two different performances.
Exactly, yeah.
We're gearing up to enjoy great musical performances in magnificent concert halls and festival venues across Europe right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Joining us is Seattle Symphony Associate Conductor Lee Mills. Lee, when we're thinking about festivals, you got to think about Salzburg.
Yes, of course.
Oh, you know, there's so many, all year long.
The Salzburg Festival.
But that is something. What are your highlights from Salzburg?
You know, I think one of my favorite things to do in Salzburg, I went to the Mozart House. And yeah. You can see, you know, yeah. Just like putting yourself in the shoes of the composer hundreds of years ago. You know,
I was just there a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact, and I saw his tour schedule. I mean, He spent 3,000 days on the road, if I remember correctly. And it was like, you know, when you have a Rolling Stones concert, you can get the sweatshirt that has every city that they stopped in or something like that. Yeah. You look at the Mozart road trip, and it was over many years, and it was on rutted roads
carriage
with a violin that's going to be out of tune by the time you get there.
They weren't traveling in first class with the VIP lounge at the airport, you know.
So you got the Boy Wonder going on a rickety, ruckety road up to Berlin and then over to Leipzig.
Bumping the whole way.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it took days.
But you go to the Mozart House. There's two of them in Salzburg, and you get an insight into his world. And you can go into Vienna, and there's the Haus der Musik there, which has a wonderful exhibit about Mozart.
Yeah, and you can see they've got instruments, you know, Mozart's instruments in there. They've got a harpsichord, violin.
There's a music, you know, they're getting so good with the audio support now. There's a musical instrument museum in the Hofburg Palace in Vienna, and you get your audio headset on, and you type in the number for every instrument there, and you can hear these early Burschendorfers, these clavichords, these harpsichords, and so on. If you're curious about, you know, various keyboard instruments, it's just amazing. Lee, when I'm talking with you, I just feel like a lot of people love classical music, but they don't quite maximize the experience when they get this great chance to go to Europe. Mm. For instance, when I go to a concert, I love to be aware of the architecture as well as the music, because if you listen to Baroque music in a Baroque palace, there's something right about it. It's almost like a nice pairing of wine and your cheese and your meat.
Yeah, definitely. One of the most memorable concerts I went to, I think it was in Warsaw, in this big Gothic church, I heard Anton Bruckner's Sixth Symphony, which he wrote for this kind of space, these big stone cavernous churches. And, you know, he was a contemporary of Wagner, but his music is quite different. And he creates just like pilings, these sound waves on top of each other and these harmonies all intermeshing with each other.
Hoping people would enjoy it in a giant cavernous cathedral instead of a concert hall.
I'm not sure what he was hoping exactly, but that was the spaces that his orchestras were performing in. Yeah. So he was writing for that space. And you get this, if you hear it in a concert hall, it's good and it's nice, it's pretty. But if you hear it in one of these spaces, it's just almost overwhelming how much sound, and it just keeps piling on top of it of itself.
So when you're going to enjoy music in Europe, you're stumbling onto this music. You and I were just talking about how in Europe they have these round kiosks that are billboard collectors. And everybody's got a concert going on.
Yeah.
When you step into a church while you're sightseeing, always look in the narthex there. What's going on tonight? And there's probably a free concert.
Probably. And there might even be a rehearsal going on when you step in there because, you know, they do these rehearsals while the church is still open for regular people to go in and pray.
And anybody can sit down and enjoy the ambiance and the sort of the ad lib concert of a practice session.
There might be a choir rehearsing. There might be the organist in there practicing. I love when I'm in Europe. Go into every single church. You're bound to find music.
Oh, yeah. I was just hiking for 6 days around Mont Blanc, and I came into Chamonix after the hike. We hiked down into the town, and there's the big church. And I stepped into the church, and there was an amazing pipe organist practicing. As if, welcome, you've come out of nature, now you're back to your regular world. Sit down and let it all just soak in with a little beautiful music. It was gorgeous. Lee Mills is helping us explore great venues for enjoying classical music in Europe right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Lee is an associate conductor with the Seattle Symphony, and his previous residencies include 5 years with the Brazilian Symphony Orchestra in Rio de Janeiro. Lee lists the concerts he'll be conducting soon with the Seattle Symphony and also with the Elgin Symphony and the Spartanburg Philharmonic. It's on his website, leemillsconductor.com. You can hear more about Lee's conducting career from his previous visit with us on Travel with Rick Steves program number 686. That was in August of 2022. You'll find it in our show archives at ricksteves.com/radio. You know, a lot of times you'll find free concerts, and I've noticed that you go to the free concert in the great church, and it's Saturday afternoon, and it's a group from Minneapolis, or it's a group from Salt Lake City, or it's a group from Boston. And you realize there's a lot of touring choirs and musical groups that are just looking for a venue and an audience.
Yeah. Well, especially collegiate choirs. You know, that was a big part of where I went to college. I went on tour twice with my choir from college. Yeah. You know, it's a good way for us to get out and visit Europe and learn about other cultures. We usually have exchanges with other choirs from that. We'll sing a concert together with a choir from Tallinn or something
like
that.
One of my favorite things is an evensong service.
Yes.
And a lot of times you'll have an American visiting choir, like I suppose from your school, that's just happy to be able to, especially in summertime when the local musicians are on break.
Yeah.
So be mindful of that as you travel around. And you mentioned practices in Wales. The whole thing is really, the choirs of Wales are just famous. And they practice every Wednesday. It's a social kind of get-together. And they make a big deal about it. Tourists are welcome to go to the practice. And afterwards, all the choral members go to the pub. And then they just make some fun music, and you're part of the party.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So you got to be creative. You got to reach out when you're traveling.
Look at all the little nooks and crannies.
Yeah, and if you hear, I'll never forget, I listened to a cappella group in Croatia. I was just in a little no-name town, and I heard some beautiful a cappella music, and I just opened the door and I peeked in, and they said, please come in, sit down. And I just had a great experience, and they're probably performing for a price the next day, you know.
Yeah.
But there, I was welcome to enjoy.
You got your own private performance.
I did. Lee Mills, thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you.
Let's just finish it off with, if you can think in your travels, because now you're a professional conductor and you get classical music all the time, but even when you were just a backpacker, what's one musical moment in Europe that you just treasure?
Oh, gosh, one.
Yeah.
Actually, can it be as a performer?
Sure.
But it's funny because it was while we were on one of these tours with my choir group. And within our choir, we had a small quartet that we sang some things. And we just were hanging out waiting for our tour bus or something outside of a church in Prague. And we just started singing just our quartet. And this huge crowd gathered around us to watch. Like probably 30 people showed up. We just sang a couple of things. It was just how enthusiastic everybody was to see us performing there.
And they probably remember that to this day.
They might, yeah. I do.
Just like you guys.
Yeah.
that's a nice thought about how music can bring people together.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a nice thought about how music can kind of just carbonate your whole travel experience if you play it right when
Definitely.
You're far away from home. Maestro Lee Mills, thank you so much. Best wishes with your career.
Thank you.
And I hope you and I can share the stage one more time because I have so much fun.
Yeah, me too.
When I watch you conducting, bringing that whole symphony orchestra together as we try to take people around the world with music. Thanks, Lee.
Thank you.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton, Kaz Mora Hall, and Donna Bardsley at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington. When you're on a road trip, you can listen to Travel with Rick Steves on one of more than 500 other radio stations. You'll find a list of when and where we're broadcast at ricksteves.com/radio. We'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.